This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mark Packer, Wes Durham. It's going to be a busy power hour, and we start off in Blacksburg, Virginia, Wes, with the director of athletics at Virginia Tech, Whit Babcock, joins us again. Mr. Babcock, I tell you what, man, it has been a busy, busy time in Blacksburg. But you know what? It's all about the arms race, generating dollars, upgrading facilities. It never ends, does it?
Yeah, very true. We did just launch a $400 million Reach for Excellence campaign. We were ready to go last spring, getting ready to roll it out in conjunction with the spring game, and COVID obviously threw a wrench in that. But it was just a chance for us to get together, have great alignment with the university, our donors, and try to do some things that have never before been done here. So keep the best of Virginia Tech, and let's go see what we can do in this conference from the top tier budget-wise rather than the middle.
Whit, if anybody walked the campus, they would look and see that there's been already in the fiscal plan of athletics a ton done. But I guess the race never ends. It's always about maintaining. When you and Dr. Sands kind of put your heads together and started looking at what you wanted to do in the future, Castle Coliseum, the drawings and so forth, it's just phenomenal what that facility looks like. But I know that's only one part of what this is, right?
Sure. And you're right. You always have to maintain, improve. I don't believe in things being gold plated, but it certainly needs to show that you have a commitment to that sport. And we did check off a lot of things in our last mini campaign. So football will not be as facility driven. We'll be more recruiting and infrastructure there. What you're showing now, we're thrilled with, though. Another component of the campaign is Castle Coliseum. It was built in the early 60s. Other teams do not like to come here and play because it's loud and it's an old gym, how it should be. And we want to spruce it up and set it for the next 60 years. So we have football on our campaign. We have Castle Coliseum. We have scholarship endowments. We have a drive for 25, as we have 20,000 donors and want to get to the top of the league. And then we certainly have something for all sports to be represented. But yeah, we're really proud of it. And the response so far has been great.
You know, the artist renderings, I wanted to be an architect growing up, and it still would have been cool. And I love looking at that kind of stuff because it's brilliant what they come up with. And like you said, you walk into Castle and it's got that old school feel to it, and you don't want to lose that. But yet in this day and age, there's got to be some bells and whistles. I mean, recruiting is part of it. But what, you know, the cool thing is at the end of the day, when you reach $400 million, which will be awesome, it's the people, though, right? When it really gets down to it, you got to have all that stuff, but it's the people in the building that makes a place special.
Absolutely. Well said. You can have all the funding in the world, but if you don't have the right people around your coaches and student athletes, it's not going to work. So we take a lot of pride in that at Virginia Tech. As we have a strong sense of place here, and we're proud of our culture and always working on it. But I love being a part of it. I'm from Virginia. And I think this is our time at Virginia Tech. So let's go take a swing at it.
Hey, with the idea, and I was with a very unique opportunity on Tuesday to spend some time with Commissioner Swofford and Commissioner Phillips together. And Commissioner Phillips said one of the real advantages in the first 70, 75 days of his administration has been the collaborative nature of the athletic directors that was kind of really buoyed during the pandemic when you guys had to make some tough decisions and kind of be flexible and nimble. And I remember our visits last summer when we still had a lot of open doors and we were trying to figure out what was going to be possible. Now that we get to the end of this, how valuable from your chair is that collaboration and teamwork as we try to, if you'll pardon the pun here, relaunch college athletics and ACC sports in the fall?
Sure. I think that will be a positive outcome to the virus, although there is nothing positive to it. It did throw all of us in the deep end together. We went from being cordial competitors to being one team very quickly. And I think now that we are almost in a position to look back at COVID and what we learned, I do believe that relationship building, the meeting with ADs and football coaches, and really majoring on the majors moved our conference forward. And I think the world of John Swofford. He did a fabulous job through a challenging year, his calm and steady hand. And I couldn't say enough great things about his leadership. And, you know, some people might have put the flaps down in their last year, and he arguably did his best work. So, and Jim Phillips, I've known for 25 years and incredibly talented. And yeah, I don't believe the ACC, I know the ACC does not take a backseat to anybody. So we want to play our part, and we're proud to be in the league.
Well, I know that yesterday in the state of North Carolina, the governor announced that the pace the state's going on looks like by June 1st, restrictions could be eliminated, which means that's a green light special for folks to show up in large gatherings. There's nothing quite like going to a Virginia Tech football game. And I know you're not having a spring game. Last year, you know, just a handful of folks were allowed in. And you are starting with a bang with a game that that people are going to listen. Your first game against anybody would be a big deal. But the fact it's Virginia Tech in North Carolina and the ramifications it could have, and not only within the ACC race, but big picture, getting everybody there in Lane Stadium on a Friday night, I can just close my eyes and hear Enter Sandman and just feel that place rocking. I know the anticipation for the 21 football season is absolutely unbelievable right now.
It is that, and our state is not moving quite as fast as North Carolina, but we do expect to have another update in early June, and while we don't know, we certainly anticipate being able to go full bore in the fall, and we do feel like there is a lot of interest. People are hungry to get out to socialize. We've seen it when we've expanded attendance in baseball and softball. We sold out of a baseball game in 4 minutes, I think. So people are hungry to get back out, do that, return to some sense of normalcy. And yeah, let's get it going. National audience on Friday night. That's where we want to be, and, respect Carolina a lot, but yeah, we'd like to beat them and get off to a running start.
Well, you mentioned the spring. John Sefcik's done a marvelous job with your baseball program. Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, Notre Dame have really been the surprises of the spring with ACC baseball. He did a really nice job at the University of Maryland. He was a tremendous hire for you at Virginia Tech. What has he brought to your program? And boy, the spring sports, both baseball and softball, have been great for you.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for saying that. And I admired what he did at Maryland. Long time ago, I played at James Madison. We played at Maryland. I felt like I knew how Maryland was resourcing baseball, and for them to go to two super regionals and take Virginia to the last out the year they won the national championship and be able to recruit this same region, I thought, man, if we can get him and bring him back to the ACC, that would be great. And he's done everything he said he was going to do. He's a great baseball manager, very consistent. But I love to watch our guys play. Man, we've been waiting on this type of success for a while. We thought we were going to have it last year. But, yeah, if we can keep it up, hopefully we can host a regional and make Blacksburg a baseball town.
I know this much. I said this the other day. When Virginia Tech, if you have a chance to watch them, they're going to hit it hard. Virginia Tech is a fun baseball team to watch. And we had Keely Richard on the show about 2 weeks ago. And, Whit, I'm not telling you something you don't already know, but every time she's on the mound and on the rubber, you better watch, because there could be a no-hitter or she's going to be striking out everybody who's in the mood. She's unbelievable. We've got some great softball stories in terms of great players, teams, and everything else, but she is unbelievable. I mean, it's crazy the numbers she's put up.
Six no-hitters, and yeah, she brings it. That whole thing of being able to pitch two games in a row, I love that. But every time we can roll her out there, it's fun to watch, and you're right, it's going to be a high strikeout count. And spring sports are fun. You know, the weather starts to get better, and you can go relax a little bit more. You're always anxious about how they perform, but love to watch them both. And thank y'all for covering it and paying attention to them.
I want to spin back here real quick to football and both basketballs in our visit, because I know you talked about, you know, Justin Fuente and the patience and the job and the work he's done here. And it could be applicable to Mike Young and Kenny Brooks. As an AD, we talk about the patience in building a program. You just mentioned, you know, we've been waiting on baseball, things like that. You've done the facility upgrades. You're now in the big process of this campaign. There is some patience in an athletic administrator too, right? I mean, as much as you want it, sometimes you got to be willing to wait a little bit, right?
Yes. And you know, when you're close to it and see it every day, you know, looking under the hood, so to speak, you have a pretty good idea if things are moving in a good direction or not. So there's times to be patient and other times there's not. But in the football case, this campaign will really be directed towards football. Like, if we're going to get in this, let's do it right and work to get back to the top, et cetera. But last year we did not feel like was a great litmus test with all the COVID, new defensive coordinator, no spring ball, on and on and on. So it went from just being thankful to kick the ball off to being highly competitive pretty darn quick. So we feel like now with a spring practice under our belt, a little more routine, that we should have a pretty darn good team this year. And football is very important to Virginia Tech. So it'll be good for the league if we can get back up where we belong and do our part. So very excited about that.
Whit, there's so much going on in college athletics. We could go name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal. But minority coaching hires has always been a topic. And you're now tied into the coalition that was just recently announced. How did that come about, and where do you think that could lead to?
Yeah, that program's called the Coalition Academy. Mike Loxley at Maryland and Desiree Reed-Francois, the AD at UNLV, who used to work with me, they set it up, and she simply called and asked. I like to do things with up-and-coming coaches when I can. I've done some others in football and basketball. The part about this one I like, it's a year-round arrangement. It's not just a one-day crash course. The person that I am aligned with to help is Josh Gaddis, the coordinator at Michigan. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we can mentor them, mock interview them, just have connections. So I like to meet those guys. I like to learn from them as well. I don't think mentors always need to be older. But really, Desiree asked. It was a great cause. And I wasn't sure who else was in it. But when I saw the other ADs that had committed and the coaches, I thought this is going to be fun to watch and watch some of these guys elevate up and get the chance they deserve. So I really enjoy it, and we've already gotten started with it. But a really great program that I'm proud to be a small part of.
Yeah. Well, the idea, too, is they put you with a former ACC student athlete. I mean, Josh Gaddis was a tremendous wide receiver at Wake Forest. So I like the ties already, and he is one of the bright and rising stars in the coaching profession. I'm interested to see when that was announced. I know Dan Radakovich at Clemson, I think, is on that coalition with you as well, Whit. That's an impactful piece in turning some of the balances in the coaching profession to continue to develop that pipeline for minority coaching, right?
Absolutely. And you guys and others have seen the numbers. They've been too low and not representative of our student bodies. So rather than point fingers, it's, hey, let's go build the pipeline and invest in these guys. And they've worked incredibly hard to have their shot. And again, they deserve it. So I think the timing is wonderful. It's been a long time coming, but I think we will see necessary growth in that area soon. And hopefully it comes from this group or the other groups that work with minority coaches. So, yeah, good stuff all the way around.
Wait, on one more note for me, totally switching gears. What kind of feedback do you get from your coaches regarding the transfer portal? Is it as crazy and chaotic as it appears on our side? Because you're having to live it with every single coach. So what kind of feedback are you getting from your coaches?
You know, I think they've gotten used to it, so to speak, and have adapted. Obviously, early on, anything of that significant change is going to, you know, make people ask questions, et cetera. But I feel like they've got their hands around it. It will definitely be a new normal. The fact that you can only transfer immediately one time in 5 years, so that also still covers the graduate transfers. It will have a big impact. I'm yet to see how we're going to count APR, graduation rates, things such as that. But I will say this. I thought that cost of attendance would be such a competitive advantage that if Virginia Tech was at 3,000 and Clemson was at 6,000 and we all managed it, yes, it was hard financially, but we all managed it. And I've never had a single coach or recruit tell me that the reason they didn't go to a school was cost of attendance. So I might have overreacted to that one. I think this transfer situation could be a big deal, but I feel like we'll navigate it. The name, image, and likeness one, is a bigger concern for me, but we'll cross that bridge this summer and see what the NCAA Council and Supreme Court says. But that's a long answer to say, if a regular college student can do it and transfer, a student athlete should be able to as well. And then if you transfer more than twice, the academic data goes down. So that's where they landed on the one-time transfer, and that's what we'll work with. I do think your recruiting and scouting departments will be split up into high school people coming up and the transfer portal. I think it'll be like the NFL with drafting college players and then free agents.
Interesting.
I want to follow with one thing. You were a college athlete. We talked about that a moment ago. The traditional route of the high school, and Mark and I both expressed concern about this, the stories of high school to college, you develop in 4 years, and then maybe, you know, good Lord willing, you get a shot at the pros. The taxation on the transfer in, you know, the experienced transfer ahead of the high school recruit with, that's that dangerous line we're going to walk here a little bit, I think, in any sport, but especially the ones football and basketball we tend to talk most about.
Yes, yes. And as you know, football is, if not the last, one of the very last to be able to still go into high schools, have that more traditional relationship. But yeah, you're right. I think it will squeeze some of those opportunities. And then what we as ADs are starting to see that will be public in the not too distant future is data on the transfer portal, because we want our young people to know that less than 50% that are leaving FBS programs land with a scholarship. In some cases, the numbers are a lot lower. So yes, it's an opportunity, but there are going to be some young people that don't have a spot to land. So that's concerning as well.
No question. Well, listen, congratulations. Good luck with the campaign. Mrs. P, I'm sure, is going to be writing a check here pretty soon. Take care of the family. I'm getting hit with Ipte on the right. Now I've got the Hokies on my left. You know, we're trying to balance this whole thing out with just trying to make everybody happy.
That's right. Ipte's got, and your wife is a tech grad, so we know what you need to do. You know? But thank you, guys. But thank you guys for covering us and having me on, and a lot of respect for you guys and what you do for our league. You guys are the best. So thanks for having me.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Henry Davis, Louisville baseball, coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. I tell you, we could have gone a long time with Babcock. There are so many items. I tell you, if you're an athletic director in this day and age, whether you're in the ACC, another Power 5 conference, really anywhere for that matter, the arms race is nonstop. I mean, that's just constant. Upgrading facilities has to be on the list. But you start throwing in, you know, the name, image, and likeness. I thought his answer, Wes, regarding the transfer portal was interesting. And then when Witt mentioned, well, you know, name, image, and likeness is the one that really is a serious concern. That was like a neon sign going, whoop, pay attention, because this transfer portal, we have spent a great deal of time on this show. And I know on the afternoon radio show, we could talk about it every day and have loaded phone lines. But name, image, and likeness. That's true. But name, image, and likeness, when you hear somebody as prominent as Whit Babcock go, name, image, and likeness is the one that's got us concerned in terms of how we're going to deal with it. That should be a telling sign. I mean, I'm not sure fans at home yet understand it because they haven't seen it. But those in the forefront, like athletic directors, commissioners, et cetera, know it's coming, and they're going to have to figure it out one way or the other. And I've said this before. We are in an amazing time in college athletics because the entire landscape is changing right before our eyes, and it's not going back to how it was when you grew up, however old you are. It's a totally different universe we're walking into right now.
Yeah. By the way, Heather Like, athletics director, University of Pittsburgh, will be part of an enormous Friday show on Packer and Durham. And I say enormous because BC football coach Jeff Hafley will be here, as will North Carolina basketball coach Hubert Davis, all on the Friday show. But Heather has always got great perspective on stuff like this. And Pittsburgh is a place too. PAC, renovation of the Peterson Events Center, all sorts of things they've done there. How does a major market like Pittsburgh come out of this pandemic? And by the way, in talking with Pat Narduzzi and some of his staff yesterday, they've had flashes of the virus return to Pennsylvania, you know, suspected to be part of that variant that's developed on the coronavirus. So they've had some stops and starts, and the, you know, city of Pittsburgh under a little bit more of a restriction than, say, other ACC markets. We'll talk to Heather about that and more as they try to get back to normal, right? Trying to get us to some point where we feel comfortable and confident about returning to live events. And always great conversation with her, but also Jeff Hafley and Hubert Davis tomorrow as well.
Speaking of Pittsburgh, Henry Davis of Louisville Baseball is going to join us in about 5 minutes. And we were really looking forward to the Louisville-Pittsburgh baseball matchup. I know we had Coach Bell on earlier this week.
Yep.
And, you know, you mentioned the COVID issue. And really, Pittsburgh's done a great job being able to kind of avoid it, be smart, not having a whole lot of cancellations or postponements. But unfortunately, that baseball series is going to be put on the back burner, which stinks because Pitt is such a great story from not only an ACC perspective, but nationally on baseball. And, of course, Louisville, what the job Dan's done there has just been sensational. So we will be deprived of that entertainment value of Pitt and Louisville baseball, though, coming up this weekend. That series was going to start on Friday.
Yeah, and that also creates a little bit of a – Pittsburgh had not had any postponements, by the way, in baseball. So Mike Bell's team had been able to play through the schedule. However, these ACC series, and we've seen some, especially back toward the front end of the campaign, get postponed. I know NC State and Duke, I think, is one that got sidetracked. So we'll talk with Henry Davis a little bit about kind of being on pause here from an opponent standpoint, but the COVID issues were within the Pittsburgh baseball program. We mentioned going to break about the arms race. Whip Babcock and the $400 million campaign, the Reach for Excellence campaign announced earlier this week in Blacksburg with the Virginia Tech president, Dr. Timothy Sands, involved. All those things coming into play in Blacksburg. Well, they just become the latest institution, the ACC, in the last 5 years to go get it in terms of facilities. And it's important to remember that it's not an end journey. You're always, and Whit just said this, Pac, always trying to update, right? Always trying to modernize if you need to. Castle Coliseum, well over 50 years old, nice facility, tough joint to win in, and you're gonna polish it up a little bit, maybe modernize it, if you will. And that's certainly one of the bell cows of the campaign in Blacksburg. But then start looking around the ACC footprint. Boston College is in the midst of one where they're doing athletic facility upkeep, especially baseball and football, benefiting from that. Basketball practice facilities on the drawing board, we understand, potentially for Earl Grant and his program and Joanne Barnaby-McNamee. We go through the list here. Look at Virginia, right? Pack around University Hall, the McHugh Center, all those areas. Carla Williams, big physical plant issue there. Georgia Tech's just finished a campaign. North Carolina's added indoor and all sorts of practice facilities. NC State's done work. They just had Dave Doran's contract features football enhancements, support staff, infrastructure. Wake Forest has just finished the Shaw and Sutton Performance Centers, all those things that have gone on. The list goes on and on and on. You talked about Clemson. Florida State's got something on the board. Miami's done things. Syracuse has done developmental projects as well. We know what's going on at Pittsburgh. Know what's going on at Notre Dame. Louisville, you can't find a place not doing something with a shovel in the ground or raising money to build infrastructure within their athletic department.
True. Did we finish the true-false segment? That was all true. True. Brought to you by Dish. That's part of the gig. It's part of the deal. 100% right. 100% right. So
it's just remarkable, though, when you think about it. It's a constant. Remember when it used to be, we do it, it's here, we don't have to do anything for a long time? Now you do it, it's here, and oh, by the way, we're on to the next project, right?
Keeping up
it's
with the Joneses.
Amazing how it works, my man.
Keeping up with the Joneses, but it all comes back to people. You know, you can build whatever you want, and that's awesome, and you got to have it, but, you know, the people are what make it work, man. That's the deal. Better have good folks.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday here on ACC Network. Wes, I told you, bummed out that we're not going to get the Louisville-Pitt series. Yeah. COVID is, again, COVID don't care. Louisville is looking for somebody to play. So, folks, if you're out there, you got a baseball team, you're looking for some competition, you might want to call Dan and the boys here at Louisville. They've got an open slot this weekend. If you can make it over there, they'll take good care. They'll give you free parking.
I'll tell you what.
They'll give you free parking just like we do for any radio affiliate that wants to pick up the show.
That's right.
Give you free parking. That's how we do it.
We did this with Jeff Walls, didn't we? The Louisville women's basketball coach. We helped him try to get a game, right?
Yeah, I told Coach Walls I'd get five ladies and jump in the back of the Ford F-150, and we'll come up there, and I'll do that for some brown water up there in the Commonwealth. And
I tell you what, let's bring Henry Davis on here because he's having a whale of a year. One of the ACC's top players, the catcher of the cards. Henry, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on Packer and Durham. We appreciate it. If Mark and I can scrabble together a group of about nine guys, maybe a left-handed arm and a right-handed arm, you guys willing to play a bunch of guys maybe wearing blue jeans and T-shirts who might need to take a break every third of an inning for a rest time or something? Would that be okay? Does that suffice a weekend series?
That'd be awesome. That'd be perfect.
Listen, the way you're hitting the baseball, I think you're going to eat up a 62-mile-an-hour fastball coming right down the middle. We may run out of equipment by the way you're hitting the baseball, man. What a year you're having.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
So what's going on, man? You just seen the ball? What's the story? What's the juice behind the big picture while you're having such a great year at the plate?
I mean, I feel locked in. I think I would credit that to a lot of the work I put in the off season, and you know, sticking to the process and just trying to get a little bit better. And over time, that pays off.
So, like, what does that mean, Henry? Well, hold on a second. What does that mean? Like, what did you do in the quote unquote off season to say, all right, this is going to help me once we get cranked up here?
Well, I think it starts obviously when things get shut down, kind of realizing nobody's going to feel sorry for me. And in that state of limbo, kind of, where you don't really know what's going to happen and when they're going to say play ball next. So, I mean, I worked out really hard then and kind of carried that through the summer and through the fall. And then during the winter, I mean, long hours in the cage and long hours in the weight room and treating my body right, recovering well. I mean, the little things kind of just added up over time and trying to stay consistent now.
Well, Henry, here's the thing. In looking back at not only what you're doing in 21, the 14 games that were played in 2020, you were tearing it up. I mean, you were hitting 372 when the season got shut down. I mean, you were on the way to kind of doing this. And to Mark's point, the game gets shut down. And really, I felt like no sport was impacted more by the shutdown than baseball, because not only did it knock out what you guys were doing collegiately, I know it also took summer plans out of most of you guys' hands as well. So the individual challenge and the discipline to keep doing what you were talking about, that's as strong an answer to me as anything else. Was that the day-to-day challenge you put on yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. At first, I was kind of home with my brother, so we had each other to keep each other in check and push each other. And then once things opened up here in June, I was back immediately, and you got your teammates pushing every day, so that definitely contributed to it.
I thought it had everything about shooting guns. I thought by going out there and shooting some stuff, it'd probably help your baseball game. Is that true?
Yeah, I guess.
Huh? So, all right. So we always like finding out about student-athletes because we watch you play, so we see that part of it. So, for fun, is that part of the gig? Hey, give me some guns. Let's go out and blow some up.
Yeah, I mean, it's something my dad kind of taught me when I was a kid. And, I mean, I'm not a hunter or anything like that. But, you know, my dad and I would take a rifle to the shooting range and spend a couple hours at the target. So definitely something that I bonded with him and my brother over. So really good memories doing that.
So is there any correlation? Wait a minute. Is there any correlation to shooting a gun and seeing a baseball and hitting it?
I don't think so, but no. Definitely enjoy both of them.
All right. So that's your getaway, though, right? That's the way you release. We're going to go out and shoot something.
Yeah, it hasn't been as much since I've been here, but growing up, something I did and something my grandfather, you know, it was kind of a Davis boy tradition, I guess.
I like it. That sounds like a Western, man. The Davis boys are coming to town. They got guns.
Hey, Henry, when you guys get back to normal and you're playing this season and it's heavy on conference play, and Mark and I have talked to several coaches and players in ACC baseball about just kind of the schedule, you know, composition, if you will. And then you get sidetracked this weekend. How and Mac is such a great motivator and understands the hot buttons of his team at all times. How do you then challenge yourself this weekend if you guys don't find a game? I mean, mentally, you want to stay locked in. You said it at the top. It's been a key to your season.
Yeah, well, I mean, a credit to how we get better, I mean, is during those scrimmages, we're facing the best competition we're going to face. I still feel like the toughest pitchers I faced all year are the ones I faced in fall and spring scrimmages. So, I mean, if we're scrimmaging, we're going to get better. And if we find an opponent, we're also going to get better. So, either way, we're ready for whatever comes, and we'll take advantage of it.
All right. The best thing and the worst thing about being a catcher is what?
I think the best thing is being able to play on both sides of the ball. There are times where I can be struggling at the plate, and I can still really contribute. And, I mean, flipping that switch and being able to still be a great teammate and still have great body language and lead from behind the plate when I might be 0 for 4 with a couple of strikeouts, or on the flip side when, you know, things might not be going my way behind the plate, I might be struggling, I can still contribute offensively. I think that's the best thing about being a catcher. And I mean, the worst is definitely the foul tips at catcher. So
yeah, that's gotta stink.
Maybe the cross-ups too.
Yeah, that's gotta stink. By the way, I'm always fascinated watching a game, because I love to watch baseball. I wasn't very good at it, but I love watching it. But I always wonder what the conversations are between the catcher and an umpire during a game, whether I'm watching a major league game or whether I'm watching a college game. With that said, I mean, you're back there behind the plate. What kind of conversations will you have with an umpire? Is it normally balls and strikes, or, hey, did you have the steak when you're in town? Or you tell me, what takes place? What transpires between you and the catcher during a ball game like that?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, we might communicate on a pitch-to-pitch basis about where a pitch is, where he had it. I mean, they're human. Sometimes they make mistakes. Sometimes they'll ask me if I thought I had it there, but we're always respectful to each other. And, I mean, I've built some great relationships with some of the umpires we have consistently. But then again, there is always a little bit of banter back and forth about what they're doing later, things like that. It's a lot of fun. I mean, you're spending 3 hours with the guy, so got to get to know him a bit.
So let me ask you, with that said, do you know him on a first name basis, or are you just going, hey,
Yes.
Do you know him?
For sure.
All right, so do you know, like, if going into a series, hey, we got Joe Smith, he's going to be the guy behind the plate. I've done games with Joe before. So do you do a little homework, a little coyness there as the catcher? Hey, Joe, good seeing you again. Yeah, man, I tell you, you did a great job in the Virginia Tech. So does that come into play when you look at a series?
No, but I know, like, when I'm walking up, I'll always talk to Coach Mundorf about, you know, who's going in. So I know if we've had him before, and I think it was the Sunday game this past weekend, he was one of the umpires we had in Omaha when I was a freshman, and I remembered him from being there, so I talked to him about it. And those are the type of things that go a long way. I mean, when you're going to spend a long time with a guy, everybody wants it to be enjoyable. So talking about things like that always help.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. See, that's somebody right there that's got a game plan. And it's game plan before you ever get to the plate, Henry. I like that. Here's the thing I wanted to ask you about last weekend in Charlottesville. You guys lost a very tough – Mark and I talked about it last week. That was a big series in the ACC and a really important series, not just for you guys, but for Virginia as well. And to lose a tough one on Friday night and then bounce back and win Saturday and win Sunday and then kind of buoy that on leaving Charlottesville, what do you think that could mean down the stretch now for this Cards baseball team?
Well, I think the Friday to Saturday flip was the biggest thing that weekend. I mean, Virginia played really well Friday night, and we were not at our best. So, I mean, they deserved to win that game. But the way we responded on Saturday is something that showed how tough we are. And, I mean, that going into playoff baseball is really important. Mm-hmm. Being able to turn the page like that Because I remember my freshman year, we lost the 101-0 game, and there's no feeling sorry for yourself. There's no carrying it over. And we flipped the switch right away, and we got back to winning. So, I mean, that's what we got to do.
Who's the biggest character on this team?
Maybe the freshman, Christian Knapchick.
All right, so and why? You know there's going to be a follow-up to that. What makes him – why do you put him in that category?
Well, I mean, compared to how some people were and how I was as a freshman, where you kind of don't want to step on anybody's toes, I mean, he's always full of energy, always talking, and, I mean, that's the type of thing that makes him good. And he's a veteran and always has good energy, whether things are going right or things are struggling, you can never really tell. So, I mean, that plus – he's just fun off the field, so definitely a character.
Got it.
All right, you're on a clip at almost 400. I know you love catching. I understand that, but you're tearing it up at the plate. Tell me as you go down the stretch what the most important things are going to be for you guys. And I know Mac does such a good job leading this team. That's the other aspect. I mean, you're playing for one of the best coaches in college baseball, as you know. So what are the priority points for you guys? If you find games this weekend, that's great after the cancellation. But these conference games coming up for you are going to be real determiners, I think.
Yeah, I think it's consistency and trusting the process. I mean, those are things we stick with no matter if we're going well or struggling. But, I mean, as the games really dwindle in numbers, I mean, it becomes more and more important to just get a little bit better no matter what. Like, you take the losses because they will happen, and you build off them and you learn fast. And it's also having a short memory. I mean, being consistent about bringing the same energy every day regardless of what happens. So for us, I mean, moving forward, chasing that consistency and trying to be the same team day in and day out regardless of the game and treating it like a faceless opponent, I think will definitely help us down the stretch.
Henry, I know you're normally playing on weekends this time of year, so the Derby is probably out for you. But as a student in Louisville, what is it like with the Kentucky Derby and everything that goes around it coming up next week or when the first Saturday in May?
Well, I'm not really sure. They always take us out of town that week, so I think they want to limit any distractions that we could possibly have.
That, you know, that should tell you everything you need to know, right? Boys, we are leaving town. We're out of here. Catch you later. I love it. Before we let you go, awesome. I want to ask you our traditional question for every student athlete since you're making your debut with us. Since you've been at Louisville, what has been your hardest class?
Ooh, I'm in a legal aspects of sport class right now, which is tough, but we're planning on having the degree done in a month, so hopefully get that one out of the way and be done with school forever. So.
That sounds like a great class, though, right? I mean, that sounds like a challenge. That might come into play later on for you. Who knows? You never know.
Yeah.
Like it. Wow. Well, we wish you the best, man.
Henry, great to have you with us. Good luck the rest of the way. Been fun to watch you light it up this year in the ACC. Tell Coach Mack we said hello, and we'll see you down the road.
Appreciate it. Will do. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you, Henry.
You bet. Henry Davis of Louisville, candidate for ACC Player of the Year, one of the best hitters in college baseball, and one of the most durable, for sure. He's done a marvelous job. Louisville, these are big ball games. I was looking ahead here, Pac. Not only did they get the win over Kentucky the other night, they've still got a series left with Clemson, a series left with Miami, I think, a series left with Carolina going down the stretch here. Going to be interesting for Mac and the Cards, who were, of course, picked to win the league. They're going to finish up. They've got the series with Clemson on the road. Then they host Duke. They travel to Carolina and bring Miami to Jim Patterson Stadium, all before the ACC baseball tournament over in Charlotte. So critical last month of the regular season, you'd say, coming up for the Cards.
Well, it's critical when you're in first place, right? I mean, you know, you got everybody chasing you. So hey, everybody will be fired up to see. And, you know, you go through that list. Clemson's really struggled. Duke has really struggled. North Carolina has not had a season, I think, that we expected from the Heels, even though they can be dangerous. And Miami's been streaky good and streaky bad. It's been kind of crazy with the Canes, but they're fresh off of sweeping the Tigers over the weekend. So, hey, you know, it's baseball, right? What it looks like today, you have no idea what it looks like next week. But Louisville baseball has been so consistently good. There's a reason why they were the preseason pick. There's a reason why right now they're in first place. And there's a reason why they're in the top 10 in the country. It's a big-time program.
That's it.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Final segment of a Thursday show, number 369 in the books, matching the ACC Central on radio. Dead equal.
Unbelievable.
50-50.
Unbelievable. 50-50. Unbelievable. I can't believe you came with that to start today.
I just thought I'd throw that number on you. It doesn't seem like we – it does not feel like we have done as many television shows as we did radio shows. But it is what it is. Sense in that. I don't think anybody else cares but us.
That's right. And then tomorrow we'll break new ground with 370. And dare I say, we've got quite a show for 370. We'll start bright and early tomorrow morning. Boston College football coach Jeff Hafley with us right at the top of the program. Then the Power Hour, Hubert Davis, basketball coach at North Carolina. And then Heather Like, the athletics director at Pittsburgh, 930, along with the other fun and frivolity, and I'm sure a full recap of lacrosse tonight with Duke and Notre Dame at 7 o'clock right here on ACC Network.
Thursday nights, appointment viewing, ACC Network lacrosse. Yep. You will, if you don't know anything about the sport, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Just give it a sample. And I'm telling you, you'll put the remote down and go, man, this is awesome. The game, look at this. Now, this is our Thursday night thrillers here on the network, the last four. Just, and again, you know, the North Carolina beating Virginia 16-13 back on March 11th. That one's like, well, that wasn't even competitive. What are you talking about? It was. But look at the other three. 15-14, 12-11, 13-12, overtime, you know, sudden victory. It's just been great stuff. So Duke Notre Dame tonight, 7 p.m. sharp right here on ACC Network. And Notre Dame got them the first go around. Paul Carcaterra told us earlier their defense is the difference. Duke, incredibly explosive. So, great matchup. They all are. I mean, whatever the combination may be, doesn't matter. League is loaded. Absolutely loaded.
Great show today. Kenny Pickett, fantastic. And we said this is his fourth visit. Is that right, Pac? Four?
Correct.
For Kenny
Pickett? True. Brought to you by Dish. Four. For Kenny Pickett.
Active career leader in Packer and Durham visits since Dane Evans has now moved on to professional basketball. Is that right?
I think I told you. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I've got them all. I just haven't added them all up. But I can be more than happy to give you that answer by tomorrow.
That'd be good. That'd be good. Dane Evans, we think, is the career leader in Packer and Durham visits. Kark was fantastic. He'll be back. Of course, he's already offered to cook dinner for Mark.
I'm in. Chicken parm.
So that could be big.
Ben, spaghetti on the side, lacrosse on the tube. Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. And the race for fandom between you and Roddy Jones, which is intriguing. I'm excited about
that.
With
you. I'm not really in a race with Roddy Jones. I love the fact that Roddy's into it. And like I said, I didn't grow up with this sport. I really didn't. And you know, prior to this show, I never paid any attention to it. I mean, I knew it was on when the we got down to the Final Four in a championship weekend and would sample it. But, I mean, I've really paid attention to it. And one of the reasons I'm so hooked on it, Wes, are the student-athletes that we talk to.
They're
both
great.
The men and the women. They have been awesome. And, again, all the student-athletes in this league. That's why it's my favorite part of the show. But you get a chance to see the personalities and how bright and talented they are. Then you watch them do their thing in a match. You go, man, this sport. It's a killer. It's great. So check it out tonight. If you haven't seen one, hey, just put your feet up tonight at 7 p.m. here on ACC Network. You'll know what we're talking about.
Congratulations to all the Field Hockey Award winners. Darcy Bourne of Duke, Freshman of the Year. Joanna Kennedy of Boston College, the Defensive Player of the Year. Karen Shelton, the Coach of the Year from North Carolina. And, of course, we had Aaron Mattson back on this program again, the three-time ACC Offensive Player of the Year, one of our favorites as well. So congratulations to all the winners. Carolina Wake Forest tomorrow, 1 o'clock on ACC Network and an automatic qualifier in field hockey. Thanks to Whip Babcock from Virginia Tech. That was a good conversation, Pac, about not only their campaign for facilities, but also kind of the landscape of college athletics a year later, and to Henry Davis of Louisville.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.